With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom? Let me tell you more about mylifeinabook.com. Every week, mylifeinabook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions that you choose to ask. And mylifeinabook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. One of the challenges I face with being a minimalist is wanting to be as intentional as possible about the things that I am buying. I do understand that I live in a world where I can't completely avoid purchases. There are birthdays, there are holidays, there are the celebrations. But if I can be more intentional about gift giving, it's so important to me. I've had the experience to gift one to my mom, and being able to gift that to her seemed more significant than something that wasn't as sentimental to her. So if this sounds like a gift that you'd be interested in giving, check out mylifeinabook.com and use code MINIMALIST at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's mylifeinabook.com and use code MINIMALIST for 10% off today. If you're planning to cut back on alcohol this dry January, Recess Zero Proof Craft Mocktails are the perfect alcohol replacement. Recess has meticulously crafted familiar favorites such as Lime Margarita and Grapefruit Paloma, allowing you to savor the flavors and experience of these cocktails without the alcohol content. Throughout January, my listeners can take advantage of a special offer and get 15% off the Recess Mocktail Sampler Pack at takearecess.com/minimalist. Every can of Recess boasts a lightly sparkling mocktail infused with functional ingredients and a calorie count of 25 or less. It's a guilt-free option for winding down during dry January. Again, whether it's the end of a demanding day, a dinner gathering, or simply a moment to unwind, these mocktails are the perfect choice. You won't miss the alcohol, and you certainly won't miss dealing with a hangover. Get 15% off Recess mocktails now at takearecess.com/minimalist so you can enjoy your favorite cocktails without the consequences.
Hello, and welcome to the Minimalist Moms Podcast. I'm Diane. I'm a mother of three living in Columbus, Ohio. I'm trying to make room in my life for what matters by getting rid of the clutter and living life with purpose. I hope you'll join me on the journey to think more and do with less. Join me today for a conversation with Tara McKenna about simple switches to change your mindset regarding waste. We're all trapped in a wasteful convenience-based cycle, but Tara's new book, Don't Be Trashy, offers an alternative. An approach to reducing waste that emphasizes progress over perfection. Ultimately, it's about changing your mindset to one of minimalism and conscious consumption, a mindset that's as good for your wallet and your well-being as it is for the planet. For those of you that have been longtime listeners of the show, this is where I always ask everyone to head over to iTunes to leave a rating and review if you haven't done so yet. So for those of you that are longtime listeners, what are you waiting for? Head over to iTunes, leave that rating and review. And for those of you that are new to the show, welcome. I hope you enjoy this content. Thank you so much for being here. I would love to hear from you, to hear how you heard about the Minimalist Moms podcast. And again, I love seeing your 5-star reviews on iTunes. So go over to iTunes and leave those rating and reviews. That said, now we move on to my minimalist moment of the week. I did have a moment to share with you, but I do also have a resource. So really quick, my moment was this week I was really in need of my rug being cleaned. I didn't know what the best, most efficient yet cost-efficient option would be. So I put it out on one of the Facebook moms groups that I'm in that's local to our community. And someone actually offered to let me borrow their rug cleaner. I'm sure some of you think that that's a little strange and would never want to do that, and that's totally fine. But I love to save money in any way that I can. And I also love to prioritize borrowing over buying if I can. But yes, this is just my encouragement to be more mindful when you are considering a bigger purchase or something that seems kind of unnecessary. Even if you are wanting to test run an Instant Pot or an air fryer, maybe one of your best friends would let you borrow hers for a week or so, and then you can see if you'd actually want to invest in the item for your home. So I like to think outside the box, and I'm here to encourage you to do so as well. All right, really quickly, I did want to share a resource with you as well. Lindsay from Home Sweet Herringers shared Lumi Countertop Composter. The website says, Lumi takes care of your food waste so you can spend time on things you actually enjoy. This is not sponsored. A listener reached out and thought that you all might want to hear about Lumi Home Composter. So I'll be sure to include that in the show notes as well. All right, let's get into this conversation with Tara McKenna. I really wanted to ask her questions in regard to zero waste that I had myself. I've said this before, it seems daunting to ever fully apply a zero waste lifestyle, especially with children. So I wanted to ask her questions that you might have. For example, how am I to be motivated to buy more sustainable clothing options when the thing at Target or Old Navy is so much more convenient and super cute? So questions like that, Tara had great answers for, and I really can't wait for you to hear that and more. So let's get to it.
Tara, thanks so much for joining me today on the Minimalist Moms podcast.
Thanks for having me. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing well. I'm so glad we're making this happen. I can't wait to talk about your new book today, Don't Be Trashy. But before we get into that, why don't you go ahead, tell me a little bit more about yourself and if you consider yourself to be a minimalist.
Yeah. So I run a blog and lifestyle website called The Zero Waste Collective, and I write about, you know, low waste living and minimalism on there. And I've just written a book actually called, like you said, Don't Be Trashy, Practical Guide to Living with Less Waste and More Joy, that just came out in January. And I've actually also recently had a baby. So a book and a baby. My baby's almost 6 months old now. So it's been kind of a whirlwind in the last few months. And I do, yes. Do I consider myself a minimalist? I strive towards minimalism. Does that count?
Yeah. Well, and honestly, so much of what you're talking about, which is often the case with my guests, is that they practice intentional living. And that's a lot of what I talk about on this show. So minimalism can sometimes be a really intense thing to apply to your life, especially with kids. So I'm actually wondering, I want to know more about zero waste and sustainability, going back to you having a baby. What has that looked like having a baby and still trying to apply this lifestyle? Just, do you have any quick tips right off the bat here?
Yeah, for sure. Well, first of all, I want to also say, like, I agree, like minimalism can seem like an extreme lifestyle, but so can zero waste. And certainly I'm not 100% zero waste and I'm not 100% minimalist. So just bad diets out there, I find that the lifestyle is really about making it work for you. And in terms of quick tips for living low waste with a baby, I mean, I'm certainly really new into the parenting world. This is my first child, so I don't have years of experience, but we are using reusable diapers and it's not as hard as it sounds. Like, we're having a really fantastic experience with that. I know it's kind of daunting to a lot of parents who are already like, oh my gosh, we're dealing with this human thing and we have to keep it alive. And you know, reusable diapers on top of that sounds really daunting, especially when there's already a lot of laundry, but it's actually not as crazy as it sounds. And we're into a really good routine with it. But also we've managed to get a lot of stuff secondhand, really fantastic stuff. Like, at this stage, they're growing out of stuff so quickly. And that boggles my mind too. It's like, next week she'll be in a different size clothing, you know? And so we managed to get a lot of stuff from, you know, friends and family, and just even just Facebook Marketplace has been like a gold mine of stuff for her that we don't have to buy firsthand. But the coolest thing that we're doing right now, and this really ties into the minimalism piece, as well as low waste living, because a lot of it is about consumption, like reducing our waste. We can do that easily just by reducing our consumption, right? So because it reduces the amount of packaging there is, but also just the whole like resource extraction and manufacturing and all that side of things. But I'm participating in this kind of like toy rental subscription company. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but basically like every 3 months you can get a new set of toys and send the old ones back. So right now we're sending back the 3 to 6 months, and soon we're going to get the 6 to 9 month set of toys. So we don't have to hold on to them. They get to go to a new baby, and it's a really great way to be low waste and minimalist at the same time.
Yeah. Who are you using for that?
So because I'm based in Canada, and I think it's called the Toy Exchange Club, but there is a similar company in the US. It's called Tiny Earth Toys.
Yeah. Tiny Earth Toys with Rachel Classy. Yeah, she was on the podcast back on episode 179, and we talked about creating an eco-friendly playroom. So I really loved that.
So smart. Like, honestly, like, why hold on to that stuff? I get it if maybe you're going to have multiple children and it makes sense to hold on to those items. But at the same time, it's just so much stuff to hold on to, right? So it's a great way to pass it along and not have too much stuff just cluttering up your house.
Sure. Yeah. I want to say one last thing about that. I do want to get into our conversation. I don't want to talk about babies too much, but I have been
struggling a little bit to get rid of things because I'm pretty sure we're not going to have a fourth baby, but I've wanted to keep a hold of things just in case. But I also have family members that are like incredibly generous and constantly want to give gifts even throughout the year. And so I realized, I'm like, this isn't going to change in their personality. And they obviously don't realize that I'm trying to be a minimalist. Like, I have this podcast. I am for sure a minimalist. So I don't know what their deal is, but all that to say, if I purge something and give it to a friend that needs it, it's like, I can ask for another fill in the blank for this new baby's first birthday. I know that that is there. I don't know if that's using and abusing people in a certain way, but I just know that they want to give gifts. And so I'm like, well, just get them something similar down the road.
Yeah. And you know, if you're not sure about having another baby, then that's definitely one way to do it, because I also am in the same boat. It's like, okay, well, we have one, but are we going to have two? I don't know. Like, it actually took us a lot longer to have one than we had planned. So now I'm like, okay, well, do I keep the stuff? Do I get rid of it? If we do get rid of it and we still get a baby, you know, have a baby in a couple more years, like you said, you can get that stuff again. So it's not the end of the world if you declutter now and figure it out later. Luckily, you know, I've borrowed a lot of stuff from friends that I can like give back to them. Like, oh, baby bathtub. She doesn't need it anymore. Here you go. Thanks for letting me borrow it. But I think that you really hit on a really good point there. Literally, you just mentioned like gifting. Gifting is a huge problem if you are a minimalist or if you're striving for a low waste lifestyle. And I talk about that in my book because there's literally a whole chapter dedicated to the subtle art of refusal. And the idea is not to refuse a gift as it's being given to you, because that would be very ungrateful and rude, unless there is a certain situation where it's warranted, but normally it's not. But it's about talking to your family in advance, right? To be like you said, they should know you're a minimalist by now. I'm not sure. Yeah. That's a different issue. But for the most part, we've had a really good experience with family and friends about kind of sharing our values and desires around that. And so with our daughter, Emma, we set up an education fund pretty quickly for her. And so we luckily for Christmas, we didn't have too many gifts for her. We didn't need much because she was born in the fall. So luckily she didn't have a ton of presents, and we got mostly money towards her education fund. So it's just kind of sharing your values in advance and then setting expectations. Not everybody's going to follow those, but for the most part, I would say people are pretty respectful of it. And through that, you can reduce your waste, right? Because I find like my concern is with her growing up that she's going to get a bunch of crappy toys that she's not going to use. And that's not a very nice thing to say, crappy toys. But I guess I'm saying like we have specific things that we want for her, like developmental toys. We don't want too much plastic stuff, not too much packaging. You know, we're just very particular. And so with that, we don't want a bunch of unnecessary items. And I think once it's going to be probably harder once she gets to the stage of birthday parties, right? Like that's a whole other ball game, but I'm hoping to navigate that with, if you want to give anything, like we're hoping to let her learn how to choose a charity or an experience over things or those sort of things. So there's a lot of overlap between minimalism and low waste living, right? I think there's a really strong connection there.
Yeah, I totally agree. And it has been harder. I mean, I don't try and pretend like it's still perfect over here now that my kids are getting older. Like it has been a lot harder to keep some of those things out of the home that I really don't want, especially like, I don't know what's with this trend right now of everything having to be like fuzzy and unicorn. It's just like very aggressive and bright. I don't know. I'm like trying to remember what I liked as a kid. And I'm like, okay, I'm sure there was something similar, but just everything has fur on it right now. I'm like, why is she bringing home this keychain that's just a fuzzball? Why do we need this?
I hear you.
We talked about kids. I want to shift a little bit into the household. You say that you want to emphasize progress over perfection, which I totally agree with. And that's the way that I try and live my lifestyle as well. And you provide a month-by-month guide through the year for reducing consumption. And we're just going to talk through some of those tips today. And then listeners, if they want to grab a copy of your book, you can tell them where to do so at the end. So one of the things that you do talk about in your book is turning off the flow of stuff to our home. So we've talked about this a little bit, consumption. So how do you recommend listeners start to do this? Where have you started and where do you encourage people to do so?
Yeah. So I have a whole chapter dedicated to decluttering and minimalism. And I think they're really important because they're almost like two sides of the same coin, but about how you've been consuming in the past, right? This is your chance to like look at the stuff you have in your house and figure out, do you even like it? And if you don't, then maybe it's not for you anymore. Or does it fit if you're looking at your clothes? Or do you, you know, does that style reflect your taste? Or are you holding on to sentimental clutter? Or, you know, do you have a habit of buying stuff that you don't always use? Maybe you like to hoard nail polish. And I say that because that's a specific example from my past where I used to be addicted to buying nail polish, even though I would barely touch it. I would like hardly paint my nails, but I, as soon as I hit that aisle in the grocery store or at pharmacy or whatever, I would, you know, beeline it for that aisle and look at the nail polish and spend $20 to $25 on a bottle. And then it would sit in my cupboard. So, you know, it's an opportunity when you declutter and remove stuff from your life that no longer serves you and you can find it a new home. It gives you a chance to be like, oh, like maybe I don't need to buy nail polish anymore. Maybe that's not who I am, but it's not that I don't paint my nails. Like I like to go get a manicure or pedicure or whatever, but someone else is going to paint my nails and someone else is going to hold on to the nail polish. I don't need to have that stuff at home. So I always like to start with decluttering. And that's certainly where I started. And the reason I started with decluttering was not by choice. It was by necessity, because when my husband and I first moved into our first home, it's a century home, and it had the tiniest closets, like ridiculously small compared to today's standards. Because today it's kind of like walk-in closets are kind of like the norm slash what's desirable, right? And so when I literally unloaded all of my boxes and bags of clothes, I could not fit all of my clothes into the small closet and my drawers. And I was like, what am I going to do? And I considered taking a trip to the Container Store and obviously trying to like figure out how to put all my stuff away. But at the end, I was like, no, I can't do this. There's just too much stuff. So I decluttered out of sheer necessity. And, you know, that's obviously a very privileged situation to be in, to have too much stuff. But at the same time, I think we're definitely seeing that's a problem for a lot of people, regardless of your income situation, that we're all accumulating so much stuff instead of perhaps diverting that money into savings and investing, which is something that I think is really important. I also talk about in the book. So yeah, so I definitely recommend starting with decluttering. But then it again connects you right down to the minimalism piece, because it's like, well, clearly I didn't need that many clothes. So I needed to consider stopping and then reflecting and then figuring out what my path forward was. Like, do I need to shop for that many clothes? You know, and I realized that I didn't need to own so much. I pared down and I managed to fit all of my clothes either in the closet, in my drawers. And then I live in Canada and I have four seasons of the year. So I did have a bin under the bed that had seasonal clothes. So that way I didn't have to like look at my winter stuff during summer, because you don't want to see your winter coats in summer. So I just think that it's a really good, you know, step for people to take to reflect on their own consumption, but also from a waste perspective, because we're consuming so many clothes and so many things in general, we're also contributing to waste. So because we're buying more clothes than we need, we're also throwing them out at exponential rates, and that's creating textile waste. So when you reflect on your shopping habits, it's a great way to discover like, oh, I don't need so much. So when you dial back your consumption, you're helping to reduce waste as well. So it's this like a whole picture that I like incorporating the minimalism piece, but attaching it to the waste piece, because it's unfortunately very wasteful, because you can be a minimalist, but if you have that one in one out rule, it doesn't necessarily reduce your consumption, right? So
storing things, like you said, you wanted to go to the Container Store to figure out how to help you store all the things. And I don't know statistics in regards to income levels and what people are accumulating, but even something like an inheritance, you could come up with a lot of stuff, even if you aren't making a ton of money, and then you have all this stuff in your home and you're like, do I need to go store all this stuff or pay for a storage locker when it's so completely unnecessary? And I think that, and I've said this before, but we have to get really honest with ourselves about why we think that we're valuable to others. I know this is kind of silly and somewhat a departure of what you're saying, but even when it comes down to clothes, it's like, do I need to wear a new outfit every day? Is that what makes me valuable to people? Is that why people like me? Because I'm wearing a different outfit, because I'm stylish. Do people really like me for that? Or do they like me for me? And so when I think you can detach some of these things you've built up in your mind to why you're valuable to the world, it helps me at least to detach from materialism and to my material possessions.
Yeah. And that's something that I also talk about in the book as well, is just having an opportunity to define what your style is, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, to, if we're talking about, it can be anything from fashion to even just home decor, because not only are we dealing with fast fashion these days, but it's actually going into furniture and decor trends where we're seeing fast furniture, where it's like, oh, like I can buy a new couch, you know, every couple of years because it's becoming cheaper and easier to do it, so I can change up my home decor. But I think, you know, the better thing to do is to buy stuff that's built to last, but more timeless in style, but that reflects your taste. So what's timeless for me might not be timeless for somebody else, right? I like gray. There's like, I'm sitting on a gray couch and my walls are light gray. Like I'm very much of the grayish kind of simplicity, but some people really like color. And if you really like color, then embrace that, but embrace your style, because if you're busy chasing trends, then it's a losing battle, because they're now, you know, we're seeing trends change so quickly. Mm-hmm. And if you're, you know, trying to keep up, and unfortunately what I did read in terms of keeping up with trends is that Generation Z is struggling specifically with the, you know, one outfit a day type of thing. Like they don't necessarily want to be seen on social media in the same outfit twice. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, well, that's really hard to keep up with, especially for younger generations who maybe have less disposable income, you know, as they're starting to develop their careers, right? So like, it's really sad to think that they're going to go spend a lot of their money on clothes and shopping instead of investing in their future, right? So it's like, I completely agree with you. Take a minute to self-assess and be like, do I need to be following trends? Yes, we want to fit in, you know, it happens. Like you want to have your peers and you know, relate to them, and that's all fine, but you're right, like if they don't like you because you're not wearing different styles every day, then maybe that's a superficial relationship.
Yeah, and it is a hard thing to do, and I'm not saying it's easy, but it, for me, that's where this whole thing started for me, was when I was assessing myself and the idea that I needed to have a different outfit for the different things that I would do. And yeah, it put me in a ton of debt. And it also was a void that was never going to be fulfilled, because there's always going to be something you're chasing. And so again, I think when you get that perspective, it doesn't make it easy, it makes it easier. And you have like that goal in mind, which brings me to my next question. You did talk a little bit about fast fashion, and that's what we're talking about right now. And I think a lot of moms listening, the thing that's hard to depart from fast fashion is Old Navy and Target are so convenient. So what are your tips for this? Because I have some family members that are like, I just can't afford to go do that. And I'm like, that's where secondhand stores come into play. But what are your tips? What do you think?
Yeah. And you know what? You're totally right, because a lot of people just think the lifestyle, like the sustainable lifestyle, is more expensive, but it totally depends on how you're going to live a sustainable lifestyle. Because sure, any lifestyle can be expensive. You can definitely go on the higher end of the budget, right? And go buy all the fancy things. So if you want to go get, you know, a fancy brandy water bottle and like for your zero waste kit and like have all matching jars and containers in your kitchen, yeah, it's going to get expensive fast. And then if you want to go to all the sustainable and ethical fashion brands, then yes, that's going to get expensive too. But what people don't realize is that if you even account for inflation, we are actually spending more money per person on fashion than we did 50 years ago. So if that's the case, then I would say that people might want to reflect on their spending. So I know people don't necessarily love to look at, you know, their all of their credit card bills or whatever, but just get a sense of what you're spending over the course of a year on fashion. And then ask yourself, with that budget, could you have maybe shopped somewhere else? Right? Could you have bought fewer pieces? Like, what are your shopping habits, right? Can you buy fewer but better pieces? And that comes into, you know, building a capsule wardrobe. So fewer, better pieces that last longer, probably look better. The stuff that's not made, like the stuff that's cheaper tends to not fit as nicely as stuff that's a bit more tailored and a bit more expensive. So it's actually going to just like help you feel better, because you're, you know, going to be wearing better fitting clothes and that kind of thing. But at the same time, there's that convenience piece as well, right? So obviously, if you're shopping at Target and you can do all of your shopping at one time, then that can make it more challenging. And what I want to do with my book is meet people where they are, right? So it's like, okay, maybe it's not going to be perfect, but if you are going to shop from fast fashion brands, don't treat it like fast fashion. For example, you know, buy stuff again that, you know, if you're sorting through stuff, you'll figure out pretty quickly what's, you know, good and not good in the store. But try and find the stuff that's going to last in the places that you're shopping, right? And then of course, there's always also secondhand shopping, which is really, really important as well. I find another challenge with secondhand shopping is if you have a very specific item in mind, you might not always find it. I find when you're secondhand shopping, you have to be a little bit more open-minded about what there is. I do like going to consignment shops because they have already edited a lot of the pieces. And that's personally where I take a lot of the clothes that I'm done with. And I always try to make sure that like, I buy pieces that would be worthy of consignment, right? Because they're pretty ruthless. And if it doesn't meet their standard, then it's going to go to, you know, Goodwill. And that's all fine and good too. But I'm just trying to make sure that what I buy has longevity and quality. And at the end of the day, when you do take a moment to be a bit more intentional, and I like that you used that word earlier on, if you're more intentional about your wardrobe, you're probably actually going to save money in the long run. And I always suggest in terms of like buying anything, but buying fashion in particular, because we're talking about that, is just to have a wish list, right? Like it's easy to walk through Target and just buy whatever. Like so in Canada, we had Target for like 2 years. For whatever reason, it didn't last. But we had a Target in my town for 2 years. Mm-hmm. And I found it way too easy to go through all of the sections of the store to like, you know, the home decor. I was always putting stuff in my cart and I didn't necessarily need home decor, but because it was really pretty, it was on the shelf, it was convenient. So it's a good time to be like, oh, is that how I'm shopping? Because that was not intentional shopping 100%. It was just, oh, that looks cute. That'll look good in my house. And it went into my cart. Yeah. But that is the stuff that I end up decluttering later on. So it's just about intentional shopping. And if it's convenient shopping, and then that stuff might end up being the tags on clothes that are sitting in the back of your closet that you haven't touched as well.
Sure. Yeah. I think it's interesting the fact that you're talking about Target and how it's easy just to throw home decor things into your cart. I've noticed I very, very rarely will step foot into a Target. If I'm going to get anything from there, I usually do a pickup order so that I don't go into the store. It's just much easier for me. But if I go into a Target, I'll notice that everything is kind of simple now or just classic looking. And I feel like they did that on purpose because they know that people are trying to be aware of their consumption. I think people are trying to be aware of their consumption, I would say. There's at least a shift in that direction. And so I'm like, you guys are trying to outsmart us and thinking like, we'll see this and be like, oh, this is classic. This is simple. This is basic. It's going to look great in my home. And then you still do it, you know?
No, and that's such a good point. So it's kind of almost better. If you're going to go get your groceries, go to a grocery store. If you're going to go buy clothing, go to a clothing store. If you're going to go get home decor, then go to a home decor store, because it's really easy. If you're shopping in a, you know, this shop has everything, then you're going to end up buying everything that you don't need while you're there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Unless you have really great self-control, which is, you know, part of the discussion in my book anyways, because like that was years ago that I was talking about, right? I'm very much more particular now of like when I shop, what I'm buying, and like, you know, and that's what I recommend as well, right? And to also like, when you do have a wish list, it's like, okay, well, where can you buy these things from? And even before you ask, where can I buy these things from? It's really important to just be like, first of all, do I need it? So the nice thing about like, you know, having something on your wish list is like, you might 2 weeks from now realize, oh, I don't need that. I'm going to take it off my wish list. So then that's money you didn't even have to spend. And it's like, oh, do you already have something that you can use? Or can you borrow that item from somebody else? So for example, special events, like if you're going to go to like a wedding and it's like, oh, like, can you borrow a dress from a friend? Or could you rent it? Or, you know, there's so many different options that, you know, just shopping your own wardrobe, for example. But like having to buy a new outfit every time, like who cares if you go to another event and wear the same outfit? I think it's getting comfortable with wearing the same outfit more than once too.
Absolutely.
For a lot of my listeners, I feel like they're on a journey to simplify their lives, but they don't want to sacrifice style, which I completely understand. And that's why I was excited to partner with Home Threads. Home Threads is the perfect blend of minimalism and comfort for your home. At HomeThreads.com, you can discover a curated collection of sleek and functional furniture that speaks to the heart of minimalist living, from multifunctional storage to timeless design. They have everything you need to create a clutter-free and serene space for your family. As most of you know, we've recently moved, and I'm not someone to just fill up a room so that it's done and decorated. I wanted to do this with intention, and so I searched out accent chairs on HomeThreads and found the perfect mid-century modern chair that really complements my space. So embrace the beauty of less and elevate your home with purposeful pieces. Visit homethreads.com/minimalist and get a code for 15% off your first order. HomeThreads, love where you live. Are you ready to take your gardening game to the next level this year? If you're anything like my husband and me, you've been getting your hands dirty in the garden, learning the ropes, and dreaming of a bountiful harvest. Well, let me tell you about Coast of Maine planting soil, our secret weapon for a thriving garden. Everything grown in Coast of Maine soil is organic and safe for your family and friends right out of the garden. Their living soils are carefully crafted to enhance soil structure, provide essential nutrients, and promote robust plant growth. With a diverse portfolio of products for all your gardening needs, they're rooted in sustainable practices and a commitment to organic excellence. Coast of Maine believes in nurturing relationships with local retailers. The products are carried by local retail partners who can provide advice and insight not found in big box stores. Coast of Maine knows from beginner to expert, anyone who takes a hand to the land has something to offer the growing community of gardeners everywhere. Their products make organic gardening simple, approachable gardening for everyone. So let's get growing. Visit coastofmaine.com to find a local retailer near you. Coast of Maine, like the state with an E.com.
No more stressful trips to the fitting room under fluorescent lights. With Armoire, you get to wear quality pieces without the hassle of adding to your wardrobe or paying designer prices. I'll say, as a busy mom of three, I know the importance of treating myself to something special, and Armoire allows me to prioritize quality over quantity in my wardrobe. Plus, Armoire is woman-founded and woman-led, so you can feel good about supporting a business that empowers women. If you're ready to have your dream closet delivered to your door, try Armoire today. You'll never have to worry about finding the perfect outfit for any occasion again. If you're curious for some of the looks that I've chosen, check out my collaboration highlight on Instagram for a few of my favorite Armoire looks. Looks that you can grab too. So right now my listeners can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/minimalist. That is armoire.style, armoire.style/minimalist to get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today.
This episode is sponsored by ByHeart. I'm so happy to partner with ByHeart because their goal is to create a future where all parents feel amazing about feeding their baby, no matter how they do it. Their mission is simple: make the best infant formula in the world. Let me tell you a little bit more. ByHeart's patented protein blend gets closest to breast milk by including the two most abundant proteins in breast milk, plus whole and partially broken down proteins for a nutritious blend that's gentle on tummies. ByHeart ran a clinical trial where they compared their formula to a leading infant formula, improved benefits like less spit up, easier digestion, and so much more. ByHeart is leading the ways in a lot of ways. They're the only U.S.-made infant formula to use organic, grass-fed, whole milk, not skim. It's the only new infant formula brand to add a comparison to breast milk in their clinical trial. And ByHeart is the first infant formula company to receive Clean Label Project's Purity Award. So are you curious about ByHeart? Redeem your welcome offer at byheart.com/podcast with code minimalist for a limited time. Additional terms and conditions apply.
All right. So talking about Target or using fast fashion or using, I guess, going to fast fashion stores, I think it is important to like shift and intentionally shift and try and think through what we're doing and why we're doing it. So like you said, I try and invest in pieces now that are 100% wool secondhand that'll last me years. Or I have some hutch in my home that I've had for years. It's vintage. I got it at an antique shop and I do love it, but I'm like, this is really nice wood that is going to last. It's not the, I'm not going to try and like poo-poo on IKEA, but it's not like that whatever the fake wood is from IKEA, which is great. I have some stuff from IKEA, but how would
you? Yeah, so do I, but yeah. I know what you mean.
Yeah. The last thing I want to discuss is investing in home goods that last for decades without breaking the bank. So I want to know how you've done this personally and how you would recommend listeners do this.
Yeah. So this is a really important part of the discussion because there's something called planned obsolescence. So basically, after World War II, they needed to really ramp up the economy. Right? So, and with that just came a marketing need, right? How do we make sure people want to buy stuff that they don't actually need? And so part of that was this idea of planned obsolescence. If we design it so that it goes out of style, then, you know, old styles become obsolete. You feel the need to fill that void with new stuff. So that's why I talk about, you know, developing timeless style or your own taste. But also they've designed stuff that's built to break, right? Stuff that's not going to last. And that is everything, right? It's everything from, you know, our home appliances to, you know, our technology, like it's everywhere. So it's the reason why we need a new phone in a few years from now, because the software doesn't match the hardware and you just have no choice but to get a new phone or a new computer or whatever. So unfortunately, you know, this planned obsolescence is keeping us consuming and keeping us buying. And also it's almost cheaper, and for the most part, I'd say it is cheaper to buy a replacement than to repair something. So it's really important to be like take a step back from that level of consumption that I don't think that we're always talking about, and just be like, oh, like if I just buy something a little better and it's a little bit more expensive. And I know that can be a bit challenging, especially if you know you're not in a state of financial abundance, for example. But it's worth your financial efforts to save up for in the long run. But basically, don't buy the crap thing. Buy the nicer thing, because you're just going to be paying out again and again to replace that crappy made item that was cheaper later on. So I've, you know, had that experience in the past. Oh, it'll be easier on my credit card if I just buy the cheaper version. And I don't know, for whatever reason in my head right now, I keep thinking about the nozzle for a hose in my backyard, because that was the item that we got cheaply that I can think of off the top of my head. So for gardening, the nozzle we got was cheap. And unfortunately, because we bought the cheap one, the next year, we literally had to replace it. And since then, we bought the more expensive one. And it wasn't even like a huge difference in price. But I know some people are very keen to shop based on price. But when we got the more expensive one, literally we've had it for years. So if you think about the fact that we literally had to replace the cheap one the next year, and since then we haven't had to, I've saved more money in the long run. So if you are price conscious, buying the item that's a little bit more, you know, more expensive, better quality, you're saving the waste, because literally it wasn't something I could repair. So it's almost going back to, you know, our grandparents' era, right? Like, it's so funny when I published this book and there was a bit of a media blitz when it first happened. And I got these emails from women in their like 70s, 80s. And they're like, oh, this reminds me of like years ago, of like when this was how we used to live, right? You like saving up for the better quality stuff and not buying, you know, crap and just letting it, you know, needing to be replaced. So it's just buying stuff good quality. But I totally get there's a budget piece here. And, you know, if you had told me this when I was newly out of school and like paying off, you know, university debt or whatever, you know, a lot of Americans and Canadians are living paycheck to paycheck, and it's kind of hard to tell people that they should be, you know, buying more expensive stuff. But when my husband and I first moved in together into our first home, I really wanted a nice wood, solid wood bedroom set. And we managed to find it online. Like, we got a secondhand set and it had everything that we wanted and needed. And the nice thing is that entire bedroom set, if we had bought it brand new, would have cost us thousands of dollars. We managed at the time to get it for $300. So an entire solid wood bedroom set that was stunning. So you can buy beautiful, really high quality stuff for, you know, secondhand, or save up to buy it. It's totally doable regardless of your budget. And then in the long run, you know, you have quality pieces in your home that you don't have to keep replacing. And I think that's, you know, from a money perspective, that's important, but also time. Like, who wants to spend all their time replacing all their stuff? Like, that's more time you have to spend shopping that you could instead spend doing more important things, like spending time with family and friends.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. The one thing that I do, because I try and justify everything, if I have to spend $100 or something to get a new tire, I'm like, well, my mom bought Charlotte $100 of clothes for spring. So that was $100 I didn't have to, like, I have to justify everything or else I'm just like, oh, I can't believe we have wasted money. So all that to say, when there's something that's nicer that I want to get, for some reason, the thing that keeps popping into my head is the Christmas tree base. I've wanted a really nice steel one for years, something that looks really vintage. But we keep buying these plastic ones. And then somehow my kids get a hold of them after the Christmas season. Usually I think my husband just puts them on the back porch and the kids somehow find them and break them. So we've had to buy a new one this past 2 years we've lived in this house. And I'm like, we just would have bought the steel one, the cool one, it would have worked. But my going back to my original point, to justify, I will look at what the crappy one costs. So say it costs $30 or something, and then steel one costs $60. Then I'll find things around my house to sell for that extra $30. It's like, okay, I would have spent the $30, but then we're going to spend this extra $30 here. So I'm just going to sell some stuff. And once I do that, I will have the $60 and we can go do this. So it's kind of like thinking like that too, which maybe sounds kind of crazy, but I like to find ways to make it. I just like to make it happen. Like,
not at all.
Yeah. So that's where I'm coming from.
If you're determined, you will make it happen. And I have actually, because the financial piece is such an important part of the conversation, I literally have two chapters of my book dedicated to, you know, budgeting and sustainable lifestyle in an affordable way. So I just think it's like a mindset thing, right? Like if you think it's unaffordable, then it will be unaffordable. But you can, like you said, you just got really creative. Like, oh, I can sell something and make up the difference. So it's just like, okay, well, how can you make up for that extra amount of money in a way that doesn't impact your finances in a big way? And like you said, that was such a creative way to do it. That's really cool.
Yeah, thanks. Okay. Well, this was awesome. I'm going to ask you, where can listeners find you? And then I do have two quick questions to ask you here at the end. So where can listeners find you and connect with you online and grab a copy of your book?
Yeah. So the best place to check out my work is my website, thezerowastecollective.com. My book is available wherever books are sold. You can get a hard copy. You can listen to it on Audible or get it for Kindle, whatever floats your boat.
Great. Well, the two questions that I ask every guest before we wrap up are, well, the first one is, what is a beneficial resource that you'd like to share with listeners that has been really helpful to you in your life? So I know I'm kind of catching you off guard, but what is something you would like to share?
No. That's a good one. So one thing that may or may not be in your community is a tool library. And it's a really great resource because if, again, this is the whole consumption thing. If you want to use something, but you don't want to buy it, say for example, a drill, you can go to your local tool library. So it's just like a library for books, but they often have other things. And there's, I know there's some in the States, there's some here, there's one in my town. And the nice thing is that the tool library that we have, they also offer repair cafes too. So basically volunteers from the community come and they literally hang out for a couple of hours and they will come, you can bring stuff to get fixed. So it's a really cool resource. So you can literally Google like tool library and see if you have one in your town. And they have more than tools at my tool library. Like you can literally get anything you need. So say you're having a big backyard barbecue party and typically people have, you know, red Solo cups and paper plates and plastic forks and cutlery. Well, you can go to the tool library and get all of those reusables instead. So you can get the plates, the cups, the cutlery, instead of having to buy all the stuff that you're going to just throw out. It's a way to save money and also save, you know, having to have all those things, right? So a tool library is a fantastic resource.
Yeah, I was trying to do a quick search in my neighborhood. It looks like the best place to go is localtools.org and you can find one that's local to you. So I'll include that in the show notes for listeners.
Perfect.
Yeah. All right. My last question, and then I'll let you go, is what is something that you can't stop talking about? And this can be anything silly or just something that you find serious, anything that you love.
Okay. From a low waste perspective, I'd say I can't stop talking about shampoo bars because I think it's one of the easiest swaps people can make. And honestly, they're so life-changing. I can say maybe 10 years ago, they probably would have sucked. And that's a problem with some of the stuff that, you know, people are like, oh, like shampoo bars don't help my hair. But honestly, because the low waste and zero waste lifestyle has become really trendy in the last few years, those types of products have become way better. And I should honestly become an ambassador for this product. But definitely making a switch to shampoo bars and conditioner bars is a really great way to reduce your waste and still have great hair.
What's the one that you use?
It's a Canadian brand called Unwrapped Life, but there's so many companies these days that are making shampoo and conditioner bars. And the nice thing is, like I said, like they have come a long way and they have bars for different hair types, which is kind of, you know, a criticism that people have had in the past, like, oh, well, if I have curly hair, it doesn't work for me, but they are getting much better to tailor to different hair types. So that's really good.
Cool. Well, I need to check that out. I have very long hair. So do you think it will work on me? Like, am I going to go through them a lot?
No, actually, I'm amazed at how long they last. They last, and my hair, although it's a lot thinner now because of, I don't know, I seem to be losing it because I had my baby. But anyways, my husband and I actually use the same shampoo bar. That's the nice thing too, is that he likes it as well. And they last us a good couple months. So definitely worth checking out. Again, it seems a bit more expensive, but it lasts longer than, you know, a bottle, for example. Plus I'm also very keen on clean ingredients. Yeah. And typically if it's a low waste option, typically it's also like a non-toxic, more clean option too. So that's a nice thing that overlaps.
Yeah. Well, Tara, this was a great conversation. You gave it so much to think about and I just really appreciate your time today.
Thank you so much for having me and I hope you have a great rest of your day.
What did you think of the episode? I invite you to keep the conversation going at minimalistmomspodcast.com. There you'll find links to the Instagram account, Facebook page, and where you can find me all around the web. Thank you for joining up on this journey. I wish you a lovely week as you think more and do with less.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.